the government coming? We need gasoline. With gasoline, you're going to bring food and gasoline and clothes? And gasoline to run generators. Bring us generators. Bring us something to get heat. We're going to die if we get killed with the weather. We're going to die. We're going to freeze. We have no cars. President Obama, please listen to us down here. We are going to die. You don't understand. You've got to get your trucks here on this corner.
Buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
All long-term storage food is not created equal. Folks who have been prepping for a while will tell you there's a long-term storage food that you can eat if you have to, and long-term storage food that you love to eat. The apocalypse will be tough enough. Buy high-quality foods that you'll love to eat from Valley Food Storage at valleyfoodstorage.com. Today's guest is James Wesley Rawls. Jim created the prepper fiction genre with his Patriot book series. He runs survivalblog.com, which is a wealth of free information on survival and preparedness. And he served in the military as an intelligence officer. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Mark.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure. Now, we made it past Shemitah, we made it past the blood moons, and the seasonally adjusted U3 unemployment rate is 5.1%. Is this tantamount to January 1st, 2000, when we knew Y2K was a non-event? Can we go back to watching football, scrapbooking, or whatever we were doing before we started prepping?
I certainly wouldn't go selling my generator and my AR-15 if I was any of your listeners. This is far from over. We're still on the brink, the precipice of a global economic collapse. We're just waiting for the other shoe to fall at this point. So people need to be vigilant. And with the recent blood moon, one thing that wasn't very well publicized is just before and just after that blood moon, there was a magnitude 7 solar flare on the face of the sun facing towards the Earth, and it actually disrupted communications in the southern hemisphere. That news just came out today.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, that's something that could still be coming?
Yeah. Oh, that flare might continue. That sunspot will soon not be facing Earth, but, what comes around goes around. And sometimes these, when we see the flares come up again, the sunspots come around again, sometimes they're bigger and more active.
Did you watch any of the CNBC coverage on August 24th, the day the Dow was down 1,100 points in intraday trading?
Not on CNBC, but I was watching the markets pretty closely.
Well, CNBC, of course, they had David Faber and then Jim Cramer that does the evening show. They brought him in early, and they were sort of speaking peace to the masses. They said it was a normal correction and a great buying opportunity, as the board was showing unprecedented point losses. Do you think that's what they really thought?
Leaders.
Yeah. Do you think that's what they really thought, or do you think they were trying to talk investors off the ledge?
I know who butters their bread. So people really need to get out of the equities market rapidly. If you still have any money in stocks, folks, it's time to bail, even if it means taking a slight loss, because the route that we've seen in the commodities is nothing compared to what's going to happen in the stock market and bond market's going to get creamed as well when interest rates change. You know, the Federal Reserve is doing their very best to keep their ZIRP policy, their zero interest rate policy, going as long as they can. But at some point, despite their best intentions, rates are going to have to change. They will go up. And even just a 0.25% rise in the prime rate will absolutely shut down the U.S. economy.
Do you think the August 24th intraday volatility? You think that was a sign of more volatility in the markets to come?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think that was just a precursor of a much larger rout that we're going to see. And that volatility was just caused by the concern that the Federal Reserve might raise interest rates by 0.1%. So, folks, when rates actually do rise, it's all over. They are no longer going to be able to keep their casino rolling. Right now, they're keeping it rolling along with loose money policies, with artificially low interest rates, and just absolute insanity in terms. If you look at price to earnings ratios, if you look at the flows of capital, one of the reasons that the U.S. markets are doing as well as they are is because of all the uncertainty in Europe over Greece. There's been a tremendous amount of money flowing into the United States because the U.S. equities market is seen as a relative safe haven. That can't last forever either.
And you've talked about a derivatives time bomb on Survival Blog for several years now. What would it take to trigger such an event?
Well, to get back to interest rates, more than half of the derivatives that are in play at any given time are interest rate swaps. And those swaps right now are all geared toward minuscule changes in interest rates. Because we've been stuck in ZERP for so long, the derivatives hedging that's going on right now is all geared toward microscopic movements in interest rates. So if there was a major shift in interest rates, say that rates jumped to 0.5% in a day, which has happened before, the derivatives market would just get absolutely blindsided. And as I'm sure you know, the derivatives market is a form of insurance where basically the traders hedge their bets. In this case, we're talking about people who are trading in the bond market and other instruments that involve interest rates. And when the derivatives market works well, it works remarkably well. It works out like a zero-sum game where everything balances out at the end of the day. Everybody's risk is covered, and a lot of money gets made. The problem with a major hiccup in the market is you have counterparty risk, where one, either the party or the counterparty on any given derivatives trade might disappear because that entity simply goes out of business. If the counterparty disappears, then the full value of that derivatives contract is at risk. And a lot of these, there are hundreds and hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars of interest rate derivatives in play at any given time. And in a stable market, it all hums along nicely. In a radically fluctuating market, you have huge counterparty risk and billions, if not trillions of dollars could be lost overnight, and entire currencies and entire governments could topple. It's that severe a risk. I don't think people have any real clue about the real risk of derivatives, simply because we've had stability for so many years. But when we have instability and the counterparty risk rears its ugly head, it's going to be a huge game changer, and the losses could be tremendous. And again, entire currencies and entire governments could topple because of this.
And can you go a little bit more in depth about the immediate effects of the implosion of a derivatives market?
Well, if a given counterparty disappears, the person on the other side of that trade has to cover the loss. And most derivatives are not insured. We're not talking the FDIC backing this here. They're basically pretty exotic contracts that are written. And a lot of these banks, for example, say Union Bank of Switzerland, UBS, their hedge book is like 6 or 7 times the size of every asset that UBS holds at any given time. So if a hedge goes wrong and a derivative implodes, the counterparty is gone, they could be left twisting in the wind. They could be holding the risk, the bear, what they call a bear or a naked risk, to the tune of that entire dollar value. And it could wipe out a company like UBS overnight. That whole company, it's basically like what happened with Lehman Brothers, but on steroids. You could see the net value of the company go to zero overnight because of literally just one bad derivatives trade where the counterparty disappears.
Now, how do we prepare for financial Armageddon?
Well, I guess the most important thing is having your own financial ducks in a row. Everyone listening to this should minimize their exposure to the equities market. They should be hedged heavily into tangibles, and my favorite tangibles right now are silver and common caliber ammunition. And folks should also have a cash reserve to fall back on in case they either lose their job or their bank closes, so that they can cover their monthly expenses. If the ATMs are no longer working, if credit cards are no longer accepted, if checks are no longer accepted, greenback cash will be the first fallback. And then when confidence in the dollar itself is lost, then the fallback will be those tangibles.
So in the beginning of a collapse, cash is going to be king basically until it isn't. Is that what you're saying?
Right. It will be king until it's trash. And then no one's going to want cash. And at that point, people will revert to the tangibles. For many years, I've recommended people stock up on U.S. 5-cent pieces, the American nickel, which is still made 70% copper and 25% nickel. Surprisingly, even though it costs the government 8 cents a piece to make every one of them, and they have more than 5 cents worth of nickel and copper in them at any given time, although the commodity markets have been pretty weak recently. I think nickels are a really good hedge. If silver is the poor man's gold, then nickels are the poor man's silver.
Very well said. And then you said to keep the cash out of the bank. Do you have some specific recommendation for an amount? And can you also give us some tips on a good safe place to keep it?
Well, they commonly call it mattress money. I don't recommend sticking it under a mattress. I do recommend that you have the majority of it in fairly small bills, like 10s and 20s, and that it be the equivalent of 1 month's salary, basically. And if you roll that into a bundle, at least for most of us, it's not that large a bundle, and you can stick it into a wall cache. There's a lot of fake electrical sockets that are sold. You can find those on eBay or Amazon or whatever. That's probably one of the easiest ones to construct. You don't have to be really serious with hand tools to be able to cut a hole in sheetrock and pop one of those into the wall. And they're fairly hard to detect. And I don't think your average residential burglar is going to walk around with a circuit tester checking every outlet. Your typical burglar is a man who's in a hurry, and usually it's just drug addicts, and they're just looking for things that they can grab to sell on the black market. So if you take the time to hide your cash and precious metals well, the chances of being found are very slim. Now, I've got to add one proviso, though, and that is a fairly new threat in the United States is home invasion robberies. And there is the chance that you could have a home invasion, you could be caught off guard, and end up being, you know, bound and gagged before you know it, if a home invasion team hits your house. In a circumstance like that, it would be wise to point those burglars to a fairly small dollar value cash, say that 1 month's worth of salary cash, point them to that if they demand to know where you have your money, and they'll probably be satisfied with that and leave, and hopefully leave with you still alive. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. If you have one large hidden vault in your house that has your entire gun collection, your optics, your electronics, all your cash, all your precious metals in one place, and you have that cleaned out, it would be devastating. So it's really wise to have multiple hiding places that just a couple of or a few members of the family would know about, and you can at least, as kind of a throwaway, a throwdown, point them to that small wall cache with the greenbacks in it, and hopefully that will satisfy them and they'll be on their way.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
In the days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition. A global empire arises like a phoenix from the ashes of the world that was. The emerging order is unified by a new global currency and a single world religion, which are mandated by an imposed UN treaty. In the interest of unity and peace, a zero-tolerance policy for dissenters is enacted and strictly enforced. Hunted down like common criminals for daring to resist the state, Noah Parker's group will have to rely on faith and wits to endure the powers of darkness, which are quickly consuming the earth. Buy your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.
You've always been a big proponent of junk silver, but the spot That's prices right. of junk now are, I guess because it's just been so sucked up by folks trying to buy it, it's actually higher than maple leaf, so like a silver maple leaf. Do you think it's still worth it to pay that little bit higher?
I think so. If you can buy it right. The problem is the spread between the spot price of silver and the physical silver market has gotten huge. 10 years ago, you could buy silver for 3% over spot, and you could have your choice of not necessarily American Eagles, but you know, decent 1 ounce silver rounds or pre-1965 circulated silver, what's commonly called junk silver, at 3% over spot. Now you're lucky if you can find it for 20% in some places. So it really pays to shop around, and you may have to just settle for generic silver rounds rather than pre-64 or pre-1965 junk silver. That's the 1964 and earlier mint date coins, simply because the demand for physical silver is still so incredibly high. It's really funny to hear, you tune into the talking heads on CNBC and they say, oh, the commodities market is just absolutely broken. And if you look at things like copper and silver and nickel, it may be decades before they come back. Well, just try going to find some silver coins right now. You just can't find them. And if you do, you're going to pay a premium price. So the real reality, the disconnect between the paper market and the physical market is huge right now. And that speaks volumes in terms of what the real situation is out there.
In 2008, right before the market rolled over, we saw commodities crash, and we saw premiums on precious metals really shoot up, didn't we?
Yes. So this is really an analogous situation. The scary thing is that the potential for collapse now is probably much larger than in 2008, in part because the derivatives market is so much larger. The underlying stability of the of the economy just isn't there. We have an even more hollowed out shell of an economy than we had in 2008. The only vestiges of prosperity that we have right now really are just inertia in the economy. There is no real strength in the industrial sector. There's no real strength in the housing sector. There's no real strength in the automobile market right now, for example. The only thing that's keeping them afloat right now is simply the artificially low interest rates. So we have the illusion of a recovery when we actually have never had a recovery dating all the way back to the dot-com crash in 2001.
Now, can't the Fed just print another $10 trillion and buy us another 7 years?
Conceivably, but at some point, the foreign investors are going to lose faith in the dollar as a currency unit if they do that, and they'll put their money elsewhere. And in order to roll over the Treasury paper, they're either going to have to do a massive quantitative easing, which is basically where they're buying their own garbage, or they're going to have to raise interest rates to lure foreign investors. But as I mentioned before, if they raise interest rates, they're going to shut down the economy. So they're essentially stuck. They're stuck at zero indefinitely because they can't lower rates anymore. I guess they could go super zero like Japan has, but they're absolutely stuck in terms of being able to raise interest rates. So once the point where confidence in the U.S. dollar is lost, the Fed will be out of ammunition. They won't have any way to fight the problem because they won't be able to raise interest rates for fear of crashing the economy. And unless they raise interest rates, they won't get any of the foreign investors to roll over their paper. So at that point, there's only one choice, and that is to, you know, basically buy their own garbage where they create money out of thin air, as they have with QE1 and 2. QE3 and 4 are going to have to be huge.
And I think a lot of people have their prepper shopping list together, and when they see things starting to really get bad, they're planning to pull the trigger and buy everything at once. Can you speak to the wisdom of that strategy?
There is no wisdom in that strategy. I think folks need to reprioritize their budgets right now. It is time to sell your jet ski, sell your big screen TV, cancel your, you know, cruise vacation plans or whatever. You need to get serious about survival now. Just the concern over the Shemitah in mid-September was enough to completely wipe out the inventory at Oregon Freeze-Dried, which is the parent company of Mountain House. Their 95% of their warehouse was empty by the middle of September. And that was just a fairly small blip in the market. If everyone in the country wanted to stock up on storage food, it simply wouldn't be there. So anyone who is planning to ride the market a little farther and then buy everything at the last minute is absolutely foolish, because what they want to buy will simply not be available. And if you thought that the recent rush into black rifles a couple of years ago was big, just wait until we see a full-scale economic collapse. You won't be able to find an AR-15 or an M-forgery for less than $2,000 or $3,000 when everything hits the fan. So don't wait. Buy now. As my friend Bob Griswold at Ready Made Resources likes to say, panic now and avoid the rush. So you really need to take advantage of the fact that gun prices are low right now, ammunition prices are low now, precious metals prices are at least fairly low right now. If you wait until everything goes kerflooey, either things will be unavailable entirely or the prices will be so radically inflated that you'll be kicking yourself. So get into tangibles now, and anybody who thinks that they're going to ride the market a little bit longer is kidding themselves. At some point, this game of musical chairs is going to stop, and folks are going to find themselves minus a chair. They really need to get out of the markets now.
And speaking of availability, there's so many skills that are easily accessed right now via Survival Blog or YouTube University. For example, I'm trying to do some experiments with grafting fruit trees, and it'd be much harder to learn that skill without the internet. Do you think that's a good reason to be learning skills now?
Absolutely. And I recommend that people go through the Survival Blog archives. My blog's been out now for 10 years. There must be 60,000 articles that have been and letters that have been archived. They're all available free of charge. It's all fully searchable. There is no secret members-only area or anything. It's all available free. Take the time and research the most important topics to you and print out hard copies of those articles. Every family should have a whole set of reference binders. You need to have manuals for all of your tools. You need to have all your recipes, and you need to have all the articles on traditional 19th century style skills printed out in hard copy, because that's your EMP proof backup. Yes, we do have a archive DVD that we produce every year that has the entire Survival Blog archives, and it's fairly inexpensive. And yes, you can run that on a laptop if need be, but there is no real solid replacement for hard copy. You really need to have those reference binders. And yes, people should be learning those skills now while the information is available, while you still have the ability to travel and to attend classes, to attend courses at places like Gunsight and Front Sight or Thunder Ranch, for example. When you have the opportunity to network with people at farmers markets, right now, this time of year, the big thing in this part of the country is cider pressing and apple juice pressing, where at the local farmers markets, you could just bring your apples and bring jugs, and you can go home with apple juice to store. Take the time to do those things now while you still have the ability to travel. And while there's still a free flow of information, because once the system collapses, everyone's going to be in the dark in more ways than one. Because not only you're not going to have electricity, not only are most people going to be without running water, but they're also going to be in the dark in terms of information. There will be no more television, no more radio, no more internet. The only radio that people will have is people who have shortwave radios and an alternative power system. So I strongly recommend that people gather those skills and master those learning curves now when it's not threatening. If you wait until after everything hits the fan, that is not the time to be learning how to garden. Right now, if you make a mistake gardening, it's just something you can laugh off and you can go to the store and buy the equivalent amount of food. If you make that mistake after everything hits the fan, we're talking about starvation. It's a huge, huge difference. So master those learning curves now.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. That's the end of the first half of my conversation with James Wesley Ross. Tune in next week for the rest of the show. God bless and happy prepping.
KDArmor.com is your one-stop shop for the most affordable body armor, period. With packages starting at $169.99 and free shipping on every order. KD offers soft armor and rifle threat rated armor up to level 4. Go to KDArmor.com and get your body armor today while you still can. Mention this ad and receive a free tactical scarf for a limited time with any body armor package. That's CATIArmor.com.